And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan. I want to thank Jeff, our buddy at The Fan, for answering the phones and covering our board and bleeping Dave.
Most importantly,
that's Jeff. And we got it. Thank God for the 7 second delay, right? But anyway, we're having fun here with the guys from Wicked Tuna, Captain Dave Marciano, Nancy Marciano, Captain Bob Cook from Wicked Tuna. Of course, we're all getting excited for the big event tonight.
Yeah.
4 o'clock at Dana Landing in Mission Bay, right across from SeaWorld, for the Captain's reception, and that's going to be fun, right, Dave? You're gonna be hanging out with some of your fans.
Oh yeah, it'll be a great time, like always. It'll be a shipload of fun.
Yeah, you go.
Perfect.
But giving away a great prize too, and we've been busy morning. We're gonna try and get to a lot of calls and a lot of texts this hour, so. Tell them how they can do it, Dave.
You got it, man. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to join us this morning, again, get us on the phones at 833-288-0973. As you can imagine, having this crew in the house, the phones have been very busy, and all the lines are full right now, but we've got plenty of opportunity to get you through. Again, 833-288-0973 is how you reach us on the phones, or send us a text. Lots of great texts have come through, and again, the only way to text into the show is through the Let's Talk Hookup app. It's a free download if you don't have it already. And you can catch all the archive shows. You can get in all the fun. When you do send us a text, make sure you include your contact info. Just a name and a phone number is all we need. Because if you win the big prize at the end of the show today, we need to make sure to get it to you. And what a prize it is. One lucky caller or texter. And again, the way we're going to decide that, Nancy's going to flip the prize coin at the end of the show. And that's going to designate whether it's a caller or texter. He's going to go fishing on a full day trip on board the San Diego at a C4 Sport Fishing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's continue our catch report. Gundy Gunderson, our surf guru, is on the air. Good morning, Gundy.
Hey, Gundy.
How's it going, gents? Good show, man.
Hey, fun,
thanks,
buddy.
A lot of fun in here.
Hey, a lot of fun on the beach, too. You know, like we've been talking, it's all trending good. We're seeing all the players come as we move into summer. A couple limiting factors, though. There was some ripping current on the beach, some swell, and then that south wind. Not always the best, but still some real solid catches. We'll start up at Santa Barbara, hook, line, sinker. Very good halibut fishing south of the harbor. Not big fish, 24 to 29 inch, but good numbers. Summerland, Pitus Point, Carpinteria, that area. They had two 30-inch class fish up off El Capitan and Mesa. Those were taken on hard jerkbaits. I guess the hard jerkbaits working on the stronger tides. Lesser tides, the guys are shifting to flukes and swim baits, paddle tails, things like that. Cherry, berry, metallic, sardine, two of the hot colors up there. Smaller perch up there, 6 to 9 inch, maybe 10 and a half, the better quality. And lots of white sea bass in the surf, mostly shorts. One angler had 10 fish in the area, must have landed a school, but they were all 16 to 22 inches. It was a 31-inch fish reported taken on a fluke. South Bay Beaches, just fishing reported lots of Corvina showing, Hermosa, Manhattan. The experts starting to get some bites. The barred perch bites been solid too, and very good fishing on 18 to 26 inch halibut. The hard jerk baits doing the job. And you know, we talked about the spot fin croaker and Pacific Coast down in Oceanside posted a 7-pound, 12-ounce fish in their spot fin derby. The fish was taken on a bloodworm near the Oceanside Pier and continued good croaker fishing. They had a bunch of bat ray catches, leopard sharks showing up there, squid, sardine working best, and then some better halibut on the live bait in the lagoons and then on the beaches. Improved halibut fishing with not the same grade, maybe 24, 28 inch on the high side. But very good fishing. And like I said, not the best conditions with that south wind and some ripping current, but and there was some junk in, you know, junk in the water, but that happened. So stick with it, and it's going to bite. The Corvina fishing is ready to bust. They're seeing fish everywhere.
Yeah, it's better week this week, and I think summer is finally here, and it's going to bite. So, Gundy Gunderson, appreciate your great report, and we will talk to you next Sunday.
Have a good week, Jeff.
All right, thanks for that.
Thanks, Gundy.
Appreciate that. Phones are packed. Texts are packed. I know you have tons of texts coming up.
There you can't even imagine the number of great. And everybody's so excited to have the crew from Wicked tune in here. I had a great text from Greg in San Clemente. He says, "Hey, Dave and Nancy, I'm wondering if you guys have been back to or have any plans for Cedros fishing and what you guys thought about SoCal and Baja-style yellowtail fishing." That's from Greg in San Clemente.
Oh, we loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, we'd love to go back to Cedros, we just haven't had the opportunity.
Oh, that was so much
but mostly because
cool.
We had
little boats.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
You like those, Nancy?
One right after the other. That
yeah.
was amazing.
Yeah. No.
You got to get out early.
We haven't been there in a while, but you know, it's only because we've been blessed with opportunity to do so many other things we haven't done before. Yeah. You know, when we first went to Cedros, that was when we were first getting into this whole West Coast scene, if you will, the fishery.
Yeah.
So, you know, we hadn't done that yet at that point, you know, and I think that's where I became hooked on yellowtail fishing with the surface iron. Like, to me, out of all the stuff we do here, I could do that all day. I could
just
catch
nothing
that.
Like that. Yeah.
Just wait.
Have you had
that.
A chance to do that, Bob?
I have
the
not.
Surface iron
no,
yellowtail?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
It just seems
it's
like so much
stuff.
Fun to me. And I love that type of fishing anyways.
We get lucky enough to have most of the captains from all the long-range boats and all the big hitters and all the everybody in here. And when that question pops up to most of the people that are involved in all the fisheries out here, ground fishing and tuna fishing and everything, when you ask them their favorite, I would say a true 90% of them will all say exactly that. Surface iron yellowtail is just about everybody's favorite.
Taro about.
Him and his boys are the top of the top when it comes to
I'm not surprised. Yeah, not even a little bit.
Sure. Hey, well, let's jump back in the phones.
You got it, man. Well, the phone lines are packed up. Everybody's excited to talk to the crew. We're going to next talk to Mike. He's calling us from Torrance this morning. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. How you guys doing? I'm waist deep in water catching yellowfin croaker and third perch. Loving it.
Nice.
Wicked
so
Tuna and Let's Talk Hookup have been a great part of my life. I'm enjoying both of them. I hope you get back on the air. Going to the Vagabond this weekend for a 3-day, and hopefully I'll get a qualifier, a 73-inch fish or better. So you guys have a great day, and thank you very much.
All right, enjoy the surf fishing.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
I have a great text here from Sean in Blossom Valley. He says, "Good morning, everybody. I am so happy to see you all again. I'm lucky enough to visit Gloucester a few years ago. We absolutely loved it. Thanks for all the years of entertainment and education I gained in the last 13 years. My question is, do you find the West Coast bluefin fun size despite the different size?" And he says he'll see you at the reception tonight.
Oh, nice.
San Diego Shuffle.
What about that difference? What about that difference between the West Coast, East Coast bluefin?
I find it personally. My thing is, I have more fun doing it here than I do in the West Coast. I mean, East Coast. Right? Let's face it. The gear we're using out there, it's big gear. You've seen us. We're fighting it in the holder. Now, a lot of guys, the purists will call that cheating and all that. But you got to remember, the way we're doing things comes from a perspective. It's a commercial fishery first.
Your work.
We do it like that because it's effective. It's efficient, right? There's a reason we do what we do. And we have caught some fish on stand-up gear, but that's only because of what I learned about stand-up fishing out here on the West Coast, right? Out here, for me, I love fishing. That's how I got into commercial fishing. So being out here, it becomes fun again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's sport fishing.
When I'm working,
it's sport fishing.
And there is
we're
lucky, it's fun, but it's still work, and, we got to catch that fish to pay the bills, right? So it's a totally different perspective when we come here to have fun. And, of course, with the light tackle, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
It is, not only just fighting the fish, there's a challenge of, learning how to work the rail on these boats with all your fellow anglers.
Right.
Oh, that is an art. Yeah. An absolute art.
What about you, Bob? What's your take?
So for me, I was sort of listening to Dave's take there. But for me, 25 years ago, that's how I got my start chasing bluefin tuna on the East Coast with this size class, with this size gear. We troll sluggos around. We troll deep dive X-Raps around. We cast to them as well. We jig and pop for them. And so it's sort of taken me full circle fishing on the West Coast here. And it's just, I missed it. I'm realizing now how much I missed it.
You jig and pop for giants?
Oh, not for giants. No, for this size class that we're catching here. Yeah. So,
Can't you catch a giant on a popper?
I mean, you could try. You could try.
it does happen.
It does happen. Yeah.
You can hook them, right?
Well, and that's just it. The fish that we're catching, it's next to impossible to get them on light gear and stand up and in the harnesses. It really is. And unless you want to fix your back every 2 years, and it just doesn't make sense.
You're fishing in, like, how deep of water are you fishing in?
So generally speaking, between 100 and 200 feet of water.
So when you hook a 500 pounder on light gear. Mm-hmm. What happens? He just empties the reel, or you just
you follow him with the boat. When I first started 25 years ago, I had a center console, and you would just go on the bow and follow that fish and try to retrieve your line. But there were also, you know, that 47 to 65 inch class, which was, you know, 100 to 150 pounders. It was a lot easier to catch up to them, retrieve, then when they were up and down, get them in that spiral up. It was a lot easier. You cannot do that with a giant.
No.
Just trust me when I tell you.
But no, Bob, come on. You've seen those guys. They're guys doing that.
There is.
Right?
But they don't do it for too long.
It amazes me, right? Because I have no desire to do that.
I have zero. Zero. Yeah.
But did you do that right out of Gloucester, or were you down towards the Cape?
So I was out of Beverly, and mostly we would head. When I first saw my first tuna, was behind Baker's Island.
Okay.
And that's when I just started crazy.
It's funny, I never knew that existed to that extent.
Really?
We see it's quite popular down on off of Cape Cod.
When the sand eels were on Stellwagen on the northwest corner.
That makes sense.
It was
insane.
Dude. Right. Insane.
Okay.
And we were just matching the hash with these sluggos and Ronzies.
The eels.
Yep, exactly.
That's what Max was talking about a few weeks ago. The eels.
That's what we were trying to match. Eels. Yeah, so it was.
But there's guys doing it, though, which is amazing. I mean, there's guys. I've seen guys catch giants, you know, on
Facebook.
They
do it in Nova Scotia.
Media,
yeah.
Right? But they're catching these giants on spinning gear.
Wow. Remember?
Well, that's what Max was talking about on like a Stella 20,000, right?
30,000.
God bless them, man. Yeah. Those days are over.
That's not even a knife to a gunfight. That's a rock.
I've caught 80 inches for sure on light gear. 20s, 30s.
How big
Stella's
is an
80
inch?
An 80 inch is probably close to 300 pounds. I have.
How big is a 500 pound tuna?
A 500 pound, 500 gross weight tuna would probably be in the 93 inch class, would you say?
93.
95,
yeah. Depends on how fat they are, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone's
different.
Is it skinny at the tail or is it fat at the tail? Mm-hmm.
You know, we always say that same thing. We've got those two tuna hanging up at Fisherman's Landing, and one is 388 and the other is 405. I mean, that's a relatively big difference in weight. Those fish are an inch and a half. One fish is an inch and a half longer than the other, and the other fish is 1 inch bigger around than the other.
Right.
And there's, you know, 30 pounds of difference in, you know, in a half an inch of round, you know, like, and then you start to multiply that by a 500 pounder. I mean, it just... An inch or two can make a huge difference.
Oh,
but then you talk about the thickness of the tail, that new mount that you have with that swordfish in Fisherman's Landing.
Oh, I gotta see that.
Look at the tail. Look at the tail on that swordfish. And that's, I mean,
it's
a beast.
That's where they get all their power. Yeah.
Funny, the difference is because we have the biggest fish we ever caught was a 1,200 pounder, right? It was 127 inches.
127
inches. But Jay and I caught one that was 132 inches, but was 200 pounds less.
I was just about to say, I got a 127 that was 920 pounds.
Right.
And he was one big, skinny, disgusting purple. I wish I didn't
Is that your biggest?
Same length of fish is 300 pounds.
That actually is my biggest. I've never caught a 1,000 pounder.
Right.
And I,
pretty close, though.
We've caught hundreds of these things. We're very close, but yeah.
How common is a 1,000 pounder?
It's pretty uncommon now. It's. I mean, it was a lot more common way back when. And they're out there. They're certainly out there. But we've just got a different class of fish that is the majority of the class now. So.
And the majority of the class is how big?
Between 80 and 95 inches, somewhere around there. That's the majority.
Fish.
Oh, yeah. They're the ones that we want to catch. Yeah. They're the ones that really are worth a lot of times the most money.
The big ones are there, but what we're dealing with is because of all the regulations and the way we manage, we have a healthy fishery, right? You've got fish from the little stuff that they're catching on the stand-up gear, the similar gear we're using here, and a whole industry that targets that class of fish, on up to the 1,000-pounders. You know, it's my belief, anyway, back in the day when everybody said, oh, yeah, they were all 1,000 pounds. That was right before the bottom fell out. You know, we know now one of the best indicators of a healthy resource is many different size classes of fish.
Classes.
When you're catching all big ones, you're literally at the point, you're catching the last of the buffalo, right?
Right.
So those big ones are there, I think. And, you know, I think, too, you know, sometimes we'll be out fishing and, you know, the run of fish is like 300 pounds. So you gear up accordingly. You might put a little smaller hook on. You might put a little shyer lead on to get that bite. To get that bite you're waiting for. It always happens. And that, you know, on our machines, we can't say that's a 500-pounder or, you know, 600-pounder, right? But you can tell small, medium, and large.
Right.
Yeah.
It always happens. You put the light stuff out. Right?
And you hook the large.
You talk to the other captains. Oh, yeah, that was the run. Is mm-hmm. You get the feel. Okay, they're 300-pounders. We can go with this. And you put that lighter rig out, and then all of a sudden you see that big monster mark come up. And ultimately, it hits that rod with the light gear on it because it looks the best.
Yeah.
It's fishing the best. And then, you know, it's not impossible to land, but your odds
are way down.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I've always said, you know, back in the handline days, going back then, the old timers taught you, if you want to catch a once-in-a-lifetime fish, you got to be rigged up and ready for that once-in-a-lifetime fish.
Yeah.
And doing it on light line can make it a challenge.
Yeah. So one line open. It's been a busy morning. There's actually a line open right now. You want to, Jeff's standing by screening the calls there. 833-288-0973. You want to get through. Talk to these guys. I have a great text here from Brian Larson, Fountain Valley. It's kind of a question directed at Mike Lum here. Great show, guys. I'd love to support Friends of Rollo, and are they still taking donations for fishing gear? And where can I donate in Orange County, Mike?
Yes, we are, and our sale of used tackle has become an annual big part of our annual funding, and we're really appreciative of all the donated tackle. So Dana Wharf Sport Fishing is a drop-off point for used tackle for Rollo's program, and all you have to do is just take it to them if you're in Orange County, and then if you happen to be coming down to San Diego, Fisherman's Landing is also a big drop-off point. In fact, probably more gets dropped off there than anywhere else.
So, yes, you're taking donations.
Absolutely.
The actual sale happens at Day at
the Docks. We only do the sale once a year, and that is at Day at the Docks in April.
But it's a huge part of our fundraising.
Absolutely, and it's a year-long effort. I mean, we just had a very sizable donation made. Bass Pro Shop did a promotion where they took in used trade-in tackle on a sale.
Nice.
And they took the entire collection that they got and gave it to us.
Oh, how cool. Fantastic.
So it's those types of things we work on all year long, and that's why we have so much tackle when we get to the used tackle sale. But as Rick can attest, literally all year long tackle comes in, and some of it is really, really high-end tackle.
That's what I was going to say, is we see some very high-end stuff, especially long-range fishing. You know, we have a lot of customers over the years that maybe they get to a point where, you know, hey, I don't think I'm going to be doing big, giant tuna trips. You know, I'm still going to be fishing and still going to be active, but I want to, you know, I'm done with my big gear, and then we'll see a lot of that donate. Or, you know, or if a family was left gear from a very avid fisherman who's passed along, more times than not, we see the, you know, hey, you know, this guy fished a bunch. He loved it. We want to know that his gear is going to something. And so it all gets donated to Friends of Rollo.
Yeah.
And there's no appointment necessary. You don't need to do anything. If you're cleaning out your garage and have extra tackle, bring it down to the shop. We will take care of it. You don't need anything. We can write you a tax-deductible receipt for it, whatever it might be. You don't need an appointment. You don't need anything. You can show up anytime and say, I've got gear I want to donate to Friends of Rollo, and any of our boys behind the counter will take care of it for you.
And if you would like a receipt for your donation, all you have to do is make sure when you drop the stuff off that you provide your name and address, and we will get you a receipt because we are a non-profit organization.
Non-profit organization, yeah. You have a great text, huh?
I thought so, yeah. I thought it was fun. Let me pull it right back up here. It says, good morning, everybody. Just wanted to say a big thank you to Captain Dave. My youngest son and daughter, who are now 13 and 15, still talk about meeting and talking and getting pictures at the Bart Hall show many years ago. They can't believe that they met a TV star. You were super cool and really took the time, and you have fans forever. And that was from Ralph and Menifee.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you. Yeah, and that's cool about what's cool about this afternoon, 4 o'clock at Dana Landing. You guys, you're just normal fishermen, man. That's the cool thing about you. You're big TV stars, but you're just fishing guys.
Yeah.
Like talking
fishing,
right?
That's
what
we love to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So come on out. Meet these guys. It's free. If you want the food, it's only $30 for the some of the best food around. Captain Dan's Pizza Kitchen be there. And Sushi on a Roll will be there. And what else, Mike?
I think we have pizza coming this time. We've got tacos. We've got Jeff Sushi on a Roll. I mean, it's if you did nothing but come out and take full advantage of that.
Yeah.
Jeff is so generous to us. In fact, there's going to be a raffle, a live auction item where he's going to allow us to auction off a special event that he's going to do for 10 people.
Cool.
Come out and take advantage of that and meet, you know, in my opinion, Jeff's as big a celebrity as everybody else. He is so talented and so generous with his time and all that he does for us. We really appreciate him.
For sure. All right. Well, let's find out what's biting out there. These guys want to know, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're ready to go fishing. And today our FishDope.com report by the Angler's Realtor is brought to us by Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. It is the place to fill up your car, truck, or your boat with the lowest in gas and diesel prices. Also, did you know that Summit is the best place to load up on ice and snacks before your trip? They've got over 40 snacks for 89 cents. You can get breakfast burritos and sandwiches for your trip, all made fresh daily. Ice is nearly half the price of the other places. We're only $3.99 for a 25-pound bag, and you get 100 pounds of ice for free with a 35-gallon fill. It's Summit Gasoline, free ice for Let's Talk Hookup listeners, and always the lowest prices on gas and diesel at the San Diego Sports Arena.
And I might mention, I was over there filling up the other day, and not only was it $4.17 a gallon or something like that, it's like super cheap, which is super cheap for us. $6 car wash. They've got their new car wash in full swing. It's a great car wash. $6 for
Summit's
a car
awesome.
Wash. Summit Gasoline. Check it out. Good morning, Yosef.
Good morning, guys. You got a full house today.
Yes, we do.
Fun day in the studio here.
All right. We got some great fishing going on.
Yeah.
Up north, around the island, Santa Cruz and Anacapa, they've been kicking out some large sea bass. The weather sucked this last week, as everybody knows. It's blowing even harder up there. South side of the islands were obviously the better, most protected spots, but they were killing it. Santa Barbara was kicking out big sea bass as well, along with big yellows and halibut off the backside. Long Beach area, the sand bass bite is ridiculous. Like old school sand bass bites, big clouds of fish, 65 to 75 feet was kind of the spot, and most of those fish were up off the upper end of Huntington Flats. There are some barracuda in there, and sculpin are wide open as well. Over at Catalina, the Pacific Carnage was there yesterday. They're gone. Nachos does have squid. There's also squid to make your own at Bed and Westin, Silver Canyon, and Lion's Head. They've been catching big yellows there as well as big sea bass off of Silver Canyon. This is the normal sea bass bite, 2 a.m. to sunrise. At sunrise, it shuts off. Great halibut fishing on the backside as well. Front side is full-speed bass, bonita, barracuda, and small yellows are eating anchovies in the front on the lighter line. Clemente. The Navy is very active, so just check in, make sure it's open if you're going to head over there. But big yellows and sea bass, same thing. I guess some jumbo-sized yellows. Same kind of deal, 2 a.m. to sunrise. Big bonita, bass, and barracuda as well. Down in the Del Mar to IB area, we've got some squid beds off of Black's Beach, Crystal Pier, and off of Point Loma. It's been pretty steady for sea bass and yellowtail. The half-day boats actually are getting sea bass again, just like the old days. It's smaller sea bass, but they're getting like 1 to 2 a trip. I don't have anything off the Coronados as far as dope goes, and offshore has just been blowing like crazy. So that's all I got for you today, boys.
And did you get any reports from the BD Outdoors Yellowtail Shootout yesterday? I know they had limits of wind.
That's pretty much what I've heard. I had a couple buddies fishing in it. They kind of struck out, but I have not gotten a report. I'll be there this afternoon. Actually, I'm picking up food at 10 to take over there. So,
where's the event?
Down there. It is at Portuguese Hall.
Oh, okay.
Oh, perfect
right.
spot.
So, yeah. Well, so they're actually doing the yep. awards, and they always announce the winners of the event then. So that'll be a good time for sure. Well, Yosef, what's going on in the real estate world?
Real estate world kicking butt. It's moving. You know, lots of showings. I closed 3 last week alone.
Jeez.
We've got, I think, 5 more coming up. So it's starting to move.
Yeah.
You know, this is our season, and we thought it was going to be a slow one, but it's not disappointing at this point.
That's yeah. great, buddy. Good for you.
Well, if you want the best in real estate and talk fishing and real estate together, how do we find you, Yosef?
You can get me on my cell phone, 619-277-2169. You can get me online on social media, at Cal Realty. You can check out my website and search for homes at sportsmansrealty.com. And if you want a home evaluation, you can go to SoCalHomeEval.com and get a free evaluation.
There you go. Thanks, Yosef. Appreciate that, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
That's awesome. Yeah, great. Yeah. Well, that's going to wrap up our catch for today. Again, sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get a premier processing experience. You can check out their easier online system to book all your processing orders for your long-range fishing trips. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity and the finest customer service. You can stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com and be sure you make that reservation today. We're going to jump right back into those jam-packed phones. Talk to John, who's calling us from out in Dallas this morning. Good morning, John. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. Nancy and Bob and...
Good morning.
And,
good morning.
Good morning.
I worked on a show, Ghostbusters, a few years ago in Boston, and I went to go fishing on one of my days off on a Sunday, and they were catching stripers, but when's the best time to go striper fishing?
That would be now.
Right now.
I would say right now, yeah. Yep. Right. Yep. They just showed up, and they're hungry.
Yeah.
Really hungry, yeah. And before the water heats up too bad yeah. as well. So we're at like 59 degrees, and once the water temps hit 68 or so into the 70s, that's when the stripers really hunker down. But I would say this is mid-June until beginning of July, it's a very
time.
Small window, I realize.
How do you most commonly catch them on a charter like that? Is it an anchor fishery where you're anchored up in fishing bait? Are you trolling around? Or how is it most commonly
You're bump
done?
Trolling around okay. and mostly with live baits.
Got it.
So you find the herd and you drop down to them mm-hmm. with the weight on the swivel and about a 4-foot leader, 20-pound leader. And, geez, we're catching some 40-pounders.
Wow. Ooh, how leader. Fun is that?
Oh, it's
That's
a lot
awesome.
Of fun, yeah. Single... What's that?
With a live
mat. With live mats.
Yeah,
yep,
yeah,
yep.
Live
and
cool.
a lot of menhaden as well. Mm-hmm. So you can put those in front of their face. And yeah.
Now, when do you guys get, when is the prime time for the tuna fishing?
I mean, look, last year, you can go ahead, Dave, but last year was a whole, every year is different.
Right.
So
different.
Last year we were catching a lot right now, but they
right,
have
yeah.
not shown
not,
up
not
yet.
Shown.
So.
No, last year it was killing us to be here.
Yeah,
yeah right? knowing how good it was.
You know, because, again, the way our fishery works, June in the past was the 1 month that we would get to keep 3 a trip, not
wow.
a day, a trip. So if you stayed out a couple of days, you could put 3 on the boat.
Sure.
And last year, we actually had the ability to do so. There was some fish around. And then we had to come here and do this event. So, you know,
yeah,
you would make an A, you know. It's
cost you money.
Now, at least I have the boys running my boat.
Right.
We do great. So that was all good. But, like, this year we don't have that worry. It's like, oh, great, I'm glad we're going.
Yeah, the tuna fight is good here.
Right, right.
Yeah,
I know. Because
talk about how lucky
nothing
we got.
Going on.
So is it just the migration just hasn't started? Is that
it, Bob? It's conditions.
It's conditions, sure, but yes, but yeah, conditions and migration, yeah for sure. The harpoon guys are getting them on the surface to the east. I 5 minutes ago just heard there was some off Chatham, which there was a few bites off Chatham, which is south of us, about 90 miles. We don't want to see that fishery really. If I'm being completely honest, I like a slow start. I don't like to harvest a lot of fish in June because they're not worth a lot of money, and it takes away from our quota. So to answer whoever's question that was about, I would say first week of July is when it really starts getting hot.
Okay.
I really – of course, we want the trips. We want to book the trips. First week in July is when I would start booking your trips.
To be and all the way through when?
All the way through to December.
December? Wow. Okay.
Oh, well, yeah. But, you know, with that caveat, you know, I like that fall fishing.
Yeah.
But it's you got to – we have the best weather, July and August.
Yes.
In September.
That is true.
Right?
Yeah.
If you want a good experience weather-wise, that's our summer. That's the nice weather. That's the warm weather. Fall gets here. We're dealing with fall in New England on the eastern seaboard, right?
Right.
And, you know, again, right up to December. But you're going to have some windy, rough days, right?
Right.
Well, now, all the boats are great boats. Bob boat's a beautiful boat. Even on the hard merch, he's not fancy. But we got the basics. We got a cabin and we got heat, right? So you can fish the rougher weather.
But
keep that in mind, you know, for the hardcore fishermen, you could see some pretty cool fishing in that
September,
weather,
October.
Right? Because, you know, again, the fish have come up. They go down to spawn. They don't eat much. They come to New England to feed on all those big
fish. Plus, you can go check out the beautiful leaves in the fall, right?
Well, they settle in that time of year on baits, and you can almost, you know, set your clock
by it.
And the other thing is, in that weather, there's a lot less boats. So your chances of hooking up, they increase dramatically, really.
But, you know, again,
I've never caught a halibut. No.
Keep that in mind.
When we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more of your great text messages, and more with Dave, Nancy, and Bob. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, everybody. This is Captain Dwayne Diego, 4-pack charter captain, here to talk to you about Parker Boats and the good folks at West Coast Marine. When it came time to start Pinnacle Sport Fishing and get my own boat, there was only one choice. I wanted a Parker. Then there's a real good reason for it. The fishability and seaworthiness. I've been fishing on Parkers for years now, and I know the abuse they can take. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's what I need when we're out 12 hours a day, over 300 days a year, running charters. The guys at West Coast Marine built me one heck of a fishing boat. From the custom tower with steering and throttle controls to the backup bait pump system, my Parker 2520 XLD will deliver me to the fishing grounds reliably and safe. Take it from me. If you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check them out and their inventory and information online at westcoastmarine.com.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full-day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
One rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
It's employee pricing, and it's happening now at your San Diego County Ford dealers. That's right, employee pricing across a full lineup for trucks and SUVs. A lineup featuring California's number one truck brand and Ford F-Series, America's all-time best-selling SUV and Ford Explorer, the iconic Ford Bronco, and more. No automaker employs more hourly workers or assembles more vehicles here in America than Ford Motor Company. And that's a commitment your San Diego County Ford dealers share by offering employee pricing to you. It's only for a limited time. Exclusions apply. Hurry to your local San Diego County Ford dealer today.
This is Duke Ekstrom from the Royal Star. In 1983, a group of intrepid anglers envisioned crafting the best sunglasses on the water. It's true now as it was then. Costa's performance frames excel in the toughest of elements. These styles are packed with functional features that create a competitive advantage for any adventure on the water. From the lake to offshore, Costa's performance collection has a legacy of helping anglers stay on the water longer. Learn more at CostaDelMar.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. What a fun show this is going to be. And, man, what a great time to come to the Captain's Reception. It's such a fun event. And, like, it's just an extension of the fun we're having this morning.
4 o'clock today, Dana Landing in Mission Bay. It's free.
Yep.
Just come on out, meet the guys, and have a chance to bid on some amazing live and silent auction items and eat some great food and drink some wine and beer and soft drinks, the whole thing.
Hang out with fun people and have a great
day
time
here in San Diego. It's going to be fun. Got a great text here from Brad. He's calling us from San Diego area. He says, good morning, guys. Curious about the monsters you guys catch on the East Coast. What size line and leaders do you use? And how big are those reels?
Mine too. I like that. I like that. That's a fun question.
So we use 130s, and we have 800 yards on there. And from the arbor out, we do 200-pound hollow core to a loop, a splice loop. And then that splice loop goes into Spectra. And then the Spectra goes to 100 yards of 200-pound mono. But what we put out there for the bait is we put out 24-foot, 180-pound fluorocarbon leaders.
180-pound, that's it.
180-pound, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
Easy.
So we really only fight these fish between 38 and 45 pounds of drag. And really, we use our hand quite a bit. So 9-0 hooks, and we crimp everything. There's no knots. So, yeah, so... 180. A lot of guys use 150 as well, but
that's,
I feel like when
I would have thought you guys are using 300-500 pounds.
Yeah, and when they're actually circling underneath the boat, we always say, you know, if you're using 150, or if you're using 180, you get that one last turn that might bring them to harpoon. And when they're on 150, you sort of say, I wish I had 180 because you missed that last turn.
The cool thing is you guys, rather than gaff them, you can harpoon them.
Yes, absolutely. And if you don't, you're out of your mind.
Yeah,
because
right,
you will lose that fish.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
You can't do that in California.
I'll tell you.
Is that crazy? That's the stupidest thing.
I've seen them both side here, and I'm like,
that's the thing, like you said, there'd be a fish that you know, that's it. You'd have him, he'd be done, and instead you've got to wait and wait.
I don't
wait,
get it.
And
one more circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One more turn.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. Well, let's jump back on the phones, Rich.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Rich? Rich is calling us from Bradley this morning. Rich, good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
That's a great time to follow up because I got some discussion on fishing line, too. Yesterday, Mark Wish was talking about bruiser-sized yellowtail and bring out the heavy gear. So maybe with a little bit of help from Rock God Rick, we can define what bruiser-sized yellowtail gear means and how that would compare with the East Coast sport fishing type of gear. We just heard about the commercial type of gear, but what about the sport fishing gear when they're talking about bumping up to the heavy gear and what it means for line combinations and line sizes and what types of line would you introduce? Monofilament for shock absorber. Where would you tie in your monofilament
So are you guys all fluorocarbon?
All fluorocarbon.
Yep. Yeah. Why?
If we were trawling, it would be a different story.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the abrasion part of it. you know, again, you can get that last turn. It's always going across teeth. And you mask the bait. If you put mono in the water column, if just even at the surface, what's that? And then you put fluoro next to it, it completely disappears.
Yes.
And so you always want to mask that bait. You don't want them. They see everything
they
down
see
there.
It.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah.
When you're out offshore like that, what's your bycatch?
Sharks, a lot of sharks, yeah, and that's been a real problem the last few years.
Dave loves sharks.
That's why we started doing shark jobs.
Just don't do it around us.
We have plenty of them, and you can do an all-day shark trip for much less
than
a trip. And if you're into that sort of stuff, I'll take you out to catch
them. What kind of sharks?
We have blue sharks is our predominant species, is along with poor beagle sharks. Often they call them phacos because people mistake them for makos, and it does look very similar to a mako as far as its body shape, but they have, compared to a mako shark, tiny little teeth.
Uh-huh.
You know, they still have sharks.
Do they jump?
No.
No.
You know, they lunge.
Threshers do. We catch threshers.
Threshers sharks,
yeah.
Yeah, those can jump.
Those are a lot of fun.
Those can be exciting. But
so, you know,
occasional real mako sharks we can hook, but that's a closed fishery back home, so we can't keep them at all, the makos, if you hook one. So it's mostly a catch-and-release fishery, with the exception of a few opportunities to keep a few sharks within certain size parameters, and it's different for every species, blah, blah, blah. But it's mostly a catch-and-release fishery because they've become such a nuisance. Because, you know, sharks, like any other fishery, is just that, a fishery. And there was a time going back, you know, three or four decades, they were overfished. But now we have great management measures in place for the shark fisheries, and it's a blessing and a curse, right? Yes, we want to have a healthy resource, but having a healthy, abundant resource of sharks can be very frustrating, as you guys know, if you try to catch other fish.
Do you ever hook a big, a giant, or a bluefin, and it gets eaten by a shark?
He did a couple of years ago.
Actually, it's rare because of the size of our fish.
Yeah.
You know, you need a really big shark, right? But it actually happened while we were filming. I think it was the last season we filmed, where and it was on a stand-up rod, and I was on the rod myself. And it was probably, you know, just barely a keeper, 75, 78 inch fish, maybe tops. Mm-hmm. And we saw him once, and he ran out, and I was on the rod. The boys were going to harpoon it. He ran out that one more circle, right? And I was like, all right, this time, get ready. I'll have him close. And it got weird for a sec, and then the line was out straight. And then I started to lean into him again. I thought he turned, and he started skimming across the top. We lost the last third of the fish to I assume we never saw the shark, but I'm guessing it was a mako. You know,
I would say a mako.
Because it bit it. I mean, it would matter of seconds. It bit through a 200-pound fish like it was.
Jeez.
Oh, it feels weird. I thought the fish was making a run.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the fish stopped fighting. And I leaned back and
what a trip!
See blood.
And it happened while we were filming, so that was pretty
cool.
But it is very rare.
Yeah.
They'll come around. They'll look. Especially when you see we got them hanging. We've had the sharks come around, but, you know, again, he's a big fish. You need a big shark if he's actually going to
take a bite
out of it, like it happens often with other species.
You ever see great whites out there?
For sure.
You do?
Yeah, more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, Michelle, I think, hooked up to a great white just the other day.
Did she really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So,
by accident, of course.
And the other bycatch we have is dogfish.
Oh my God.
Once they start coming in.
Oh, is that right?
God.
Yeah.
It's a dreaded dogfish.
There is an influx of dogfish in southeast Alaska right now. The guys couldn't even explain. They were everywhere.
So that, like when you're halibut fishing in Alaska, dogfish is the
I didn't even know they existed there, to be honest. Did you?
No.
I imagine it's a different species. We have the North Atlantic spiny dogfish is the bane of our existence.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And again, it was another fishery. We used to make a lot of money doing it, gill netting. It was a great fishery. You know, you only got a dime a pound, but, you know.
But you eliminated them.
But, well, the thing was, though, is even at a dime a pound, you know, in 3 or 4 months in the summer when they're around, you know, if you landed
a million pounds. Stack up enough dimes, it makes a couple bucks.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you landed 1 million pounds, you know, a dime a pound. It's money. It's blood work, but it was money. It, you know what I mean? In the early days.
But there's no fishery for it anymore?
Well, no. They managed it. Somehow somebody came out with a BO, a biological opinion, and made the decision that there was a disproportionate number of females to males in the stock mix-up. So they had us reduce the fishery by 90%. Wow. Now, here's the thing. Like, we were landing at the time as a commercial fishery, we were landing almost 30 million pounds a year, right? But you had to have an infrastructure to process that fish.
Yeah.
They reduced it down to 3 million pounds a year, as opposed to, like, as commercial fishing, we were like, look, let's cut it in half. We'll manage your fishery. But if you cut it more than that 50% down to 15 million pounds, we lost the processors and we lost all the people who handled the fish, and now they're prolific again after being fully rebuilt. But all the infrastructure that supported that fishery is gone.
Yeah.
So you don't have a market and you can't do anything with them.
Right? Yeah. Dang. You have a great text.
I thought so. It says, good morning, guys. Question for Dave and Nancy. Are there any techniques you've seen from the West Coast that you've decided to bring back to your arsenal on the East Coast? And likewise for Bob, has there been anything on the East Coast that you've tapped into that you think was going to work for us out here? And that's from Alex in San Carlos.
My answer is yes, but would you like to go first, Bob?
My answer is yes, too, and it was really how they rigged up the flyers for the kite. I was able to take some rigging tips for maybe doing a stick bait on the kite, you know?
Yep.
And I tried it a few times last year. I didn't get any bites, but that's because they weren't around.
Yeah.
So it wasn't because of the technique.
Happen,
but, yeah, oh, yeah, I learned a lot.
And I definitely thought about that as I looked at my kite sitting in the corner with the cigarette burns in it. But you know what? You know what I have done, though? Because you know what I like? And I call it, I tell my clients, I call it a sky balloon. I don't know what it's really called, but when they put the flyers just on a helium balloon and just put it out there.
Right.
Okay, that's for me because it's easy, right? You don't need the extra kite rod,
right?
But you put the live mackerel. I have the helium tank on the boat. You put the live mackerel under the helium balloon. It's real easy to change the bait, and you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's cool. I like
and
that. I like the helium balloon, and it works.
Yeah,
and just the expenses, you lose the helium balloon, but it's still a pretty cool bite. And to me, it's much easier than the kite. I had to fine-tune it.
Yeah, you don't need wind.
For that heavier line, right? I had to fine-tune it. You know, like I use braid, and then I use about 100 yards of mono, and then I have my 30 feet of fluorocarbon leader. You know, I had to do away. I have to have a rod where I've done away with all the monofilament to make the helium balloon deal work, because the monofilament would be too heavy.
Right.
But
well, let's jump back to the
phone. Cool technique.
Yeah, you got it. How about this time we talk to Tom, and Tom comes from Temecula this morning. Tom, thanks for joining us here on Let's Talk Hook Up.
Morning, guys. It's a privilege to be talking to you guys.
Thank you.
Anyway, my question is, what's your method of processing that big tuna once you get it on the boat? Is it any different than what we do out here on the West Coast? And a lot of that commercially sold tuna, where does it end up?
Go for it, Dave. Yeah, I mean.
The processing is very similar, right? We had them. We'll gut them, and Gil got them and get some ice in their bellies. Now, on the show, traditionally, we'd cut the head off, right, and so, you know, get the head off just so you can get rid of it at sea. You don't have to bring it to the dock, just less waste. And plus, there's the space issue. But for the TV show, it looked much better on, lifting that fish with the head on is obviously
get the weight on
a better visual. But, like, as soon as the cameras are gone, we go back to lob that head right off. Plus, if we do happen to have a charter, that's the one opportunity, get those head steaks out for the clients so they can at least have a little bit of that fish to bring
home barbecue.
A couple pounds of head steaks, right? So it's very similar. What was the other question? Where does it wind up? On the show, we never got into detail, right? But not every fish goes to Japan. Probably, I would say, maybe 70%, Bob?
I would say a lot less than that now. Maybe 40%.
Yeah, these days.
60
definitely
is,
these days.
Yeah, 60
maybe there was
domestic.
A time when it was 70 or 80%.
Market.
So right. It used to be flopped completely around. Yeah. It was, you know, 70-80% were going to the Japanese market, but now it's and that's the advent of many, many restaurants that are now introducing it, and we like that a heck of a lot better.
And would that be across the country, or is
that would be across the country?
Sushi bars, high-end restaurants, whatever.
Now we compete for the domestic market. We compete with these Pacific bluefin, you know, on a commercial sense, right? Because this is a great product here too, and we do have some commercial fish.
Well, they have the pens.
We're permitted appropriately, not in the sport fishing world, but. You know what I mean? It's one of our competitors on the market.
Yeah.
You know, look, I even dabbled in getting into fish sales, and that that business ultimately didn't work out for me. You know, I tried to build off the brand name we created from the show, but still, it was an attempt to, you know, because we would get asked all the time. People would see us catch these fish. Hey, where can we get some of the fish that we see you catch in the show?
Well, that's interesting, because Quentin in Fountain Valley writes, "Good morning, guys. My question is for Dave. Will your seafood business be open this season? I love being able to get whole belly clams and other great seafood shipped to my door. My family always stops at Land and Sea Fried Clams when we're in Peabody, Massachusetts."
Oh, wow.
Or they call it Peabody, right?
Peabody.
Peabody. We closed the business. We gave it 3 years. It just didn't work out the way I had hoped. That's life in the business world.
No, it's a tough business.
I should have went into the pizza business.
We were talking about that earlier.
I would have been rich by now, I tell you.
That's not what it used to be either, man. My provision costs, as you saw, they are just way up.
I love it.
It's insane.
But, you know, again, I'm thankful because of the show I was able to try.
Yeah, give it a run.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So I won't complain, and you know,
so he's got to go somewhere else for
his somewhere else. Oh, and my suggestion is, if you're listening, look up Intershell International. It's a Gloucester company. It's who we sell a lot of our tuna fish. Intershell International. He was kind of my packaging partner when I was running the seafood business, and I've known him. I've been selling him fish for 30-plus years over there. Because he always demanded a superior product. He would search out the fishermen who would bring in that nice product, because he was running a good business,
That's
too.
Cool.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, hey, had a fun text. Yeah, good morning, guys. We absolutely love your show and appreciate all you've done for the fishing community around the country. This is Kathy from Placentia. We're huge Wicked Tuna fans in our house, and it was always such a treat for us to get to meet Dave and Nancy at the Fred Hall shows. Do you guys have any intention of joining us at any of the other West Coast fishing shows?
Possibly. Last year, due to scheduling conflicts, I wasn't able to go to that. It's the one in Orange County. It's, I always get the name
wrong. PCS show, the big one.
Yeah, the PCS show.
Pacific Coast Sport Fishing.
Yeah. I assume almost every year the organizer invites me out there to participate. Hopefully this year I'll be able to do so, and we'll be at that event. But again, it's all scheduling, you know, for stuff like that.
What about you, Bob?
I've actually never been to those. I've heard really good things about them. And with the popularity of the show, I'm quite sure it was worth it.
Maybe we should team up for that PCS show, Bob. Maybe they'll invite
you guys out.
Yeah.
We'll have a little side bet on who can sell more T-shirts.
Oh, my God. I'm on
T-shirts or Fat Tuna T-shirts.
I'm going to lose that one.
Now, when you go to the
competition,
show,
I can win.
So what percentage of your time, Bob, are you spending in your restaurant versus fishing?
I spend exactly zero time, and I don't even call it a restaurant. It's a pizza joint. Let's be honest. Yeah. It's a takeout. I do all the pay. I actually just sent all the hours to my wife while we were at commercial break, just to kind of do payroll. But I do very minimal time in there, and it shows, to be quite honest, because I leave money on the table.
But you're concentrating on your business.
He doesn't crack a whip, though. He's a fisherman. He uses a knotted rope for those employees.
I'm offshore so much this time of year, so they know that I'm not an option.
Yeah. For sure.
We you know, have become successful offshore, probably in spite of that.
When we come back, we're going to find out what lucky caller or texter's got themselves a full-day trip on board the San Diego. Lots of fun. More to come. You stay tuned with Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Cod Rick here to tell you about Parker Boats and the guys at West Coast Marine. By now, you all know my boat partner and I bought a new 25 Parker Center console from Screw at West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. We've known for a long time that a Parker was the boat for us. It's a stout workhorse of a boat built to last and get you home when the seas get rough. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore tuna grounds. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip, and there they are. Parker Boats of all sizes, fishing in the same areas as the sporties. There's a good reason for it, fishability and seaworthiness. West Coast Marine has several new Parkers in stock and ready for delivery. And they have more on the way. Don't get caught without a reliable boat when fishing is this good. Take it from me, if you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine. Check out the inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
This is Pete Gray to tell you about my fishing buddy Dan Hume and his amazing company, Hume Termite. As you know, Southern California is infested with termites. It's a constant battle for anyone who owns a home, and that's where Hume Termite come in. They're strictly termite experts. They start with a thorough inspection to find out why you have termites in the first place, then recommend sustainable treatment options that work. Hume Termite has been controlling my termites for years, and I have recommended them to numerous friends. Did you know 99% of termite companies are commission-based? Not Hume Termite. They're all salaried employees, and with a thorough inspection, they'll help you solve your termite problems. Not sell you something you don't need. Let Dan and his crew earn your business through customer service and trust. It's swarming season, and now is the time to call Hume Termite at 760-598-2201. They'll come out and give you honest answers to solve your termite issues. Check HumeTermite.com.
Captain Jamie Tennis from Season Sport Fishing here. For the past few seasons, a dart-style metal jig has come into play in a big way for tuna offshore or even rockfish down deep. APCO's Crossbreed Jig has quickly become the go-to for many since it came onto the market. APCO's Crossbreed Jig is good to go right out of the package with a 4X treble hook, heavy-duty split rings, West Coast colors, and sizes 60 gram to 120 gram. Pick one up today at your local tackle store or learn more on APCO.com.
One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
Looking for the ultimate Alaska fishing experience and the best value in Alaska? Look no further than Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. A trip to Kingfisher includes everything you need to make your experience legendary. The finest fishing fleet in Sitka with the best captains, deluxe accommodations, gourmet food, world-class fish processing, and the best part, it's all included for one amazing price. Kingfisher is Let's Talk Hookup's most popular destination. Hundreds of listeners have experienced Kingfisher Charters, and most go back again and again. You have probably heard a lot of big promises from other Alaska lodges, only to find there were lots of hidden charges. Not Kingfisher. Everything is included. 10-hour fishing days, your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, and fishing gear. All you bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. Kingfisher Charters, your Alaska fishing destination. 800-727-6136 or check KingfisherCharters.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time. Mancy's going to do us the honor, flipping that prize coin for us real quick. We're going to find out if we have a caller or a texter. Go ahead, Nancy. Today we have a caller. Congratulations, Rich in Bradley. You are going fishing on board the San Diego on a full-day trip. Congratulations, Rich. Hey, good job, Nancy.
Good for you.
Well right. done. So well somebody done. Somebody wants to go fishing with you, Bob? Or excuse me, Dave? Whatever your name is.
You and the red shirt.
AngelicaFisheries.com, please. Okay. AngelicaFisheries.com.
And just book a trip on there.
Right? And there are, if you follow us on Facebook or the social medias, look for the boat, Hod Merchandise.
Okay.
And all the links to the websites will be there. And
just Google Hod Merchandise.
Yeah, that's right. You get everything you need.
What about you, Bob?
Yes, and for us, it's FatTunaCharters.com, and I'm also on Instagram, Captain Bob Cook, and it's FV Fat Tuna on there as well. But Captain Bob Cook, if you want to just do a private message, I'll certainly get back to you.
All right, yep. Great. Thanks, guys. And don't forget, 4 o'clock today at Dana Landing. Don't miss it. Free to enter, and it's going to be super fun. We'll see you over there. Next week on Let's Talk Hookup, Jim Hendricks from Saltwater Sportsman and the CCA California. Next Sunday, Robbie Gant from APCO will be here. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to Jeff in the Fan Studio. Thanks to Adam for all he does. And we'll see you next week right back here on The Fan, YouTube, Facebook Live, and the Let's Talk Hookup app.